Psalms 121. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where will my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. He who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time and forevermore. John 3:1-17. Now, there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God. Jesus answered him, Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above. Nicodemus said to him, How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I say to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus said to him, How can these things be? Jesus answered him, Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Verily, truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you did not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from earth, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish but have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. The word of the Lord for the people of the Lord.
Well, good morning, everyone. It's good to be together on our second Sunday of Lent as we're journeying through. Man, it's been an awesome service already. So many wonderful things this morning. Have you ever gotten ready to go on a road trip? You get in the car all bundled up, your car's packed full, and just as you're about to, head out, you take a pause. A quick pause. Say, let's just have a quick prayer together. As we get ready for the journey, I don't know if that was a tradition for any of you growing up as a child. I have vivid memories of that before we would go on a road trip, to take a little pause and say a prayer before we head out on our trip. And that is what's going on here in Psalm 121. Psalm 121 is a psalm for travelers. It's a psalm for those about to head out on a journey. And what was that journey that they were heading out on? They were heading out on a pilgrimage. Rolf Jacobson, who is professor of Old Testament, says, this psalm is a part of the Psalms of Ascent. Psalms 120 to 134 all bear the same kind of similar form and language that show us that they're psalms of pilgrimage. Pilgrim festivals that faithful Israelites would head out on, the Pilgrim Festival of Passover, or Shavuot, or Sukkot. These were pilgrimages to Jerusalem, and as they set out on that pilgrimage, this was a psalm that they prayed as a blessing on the journey. The structure of the psalm is elegantly simple. Verses 1 to 2 is the traveler's question and confession. And then verses 3 to 8 is a blessing for the pilgrimage. And so what is that question in verse 1 that we hear? I lift my eyes to the hills. Where will my help come from? ? I like to imagine as the psalmist was writing this, maybe they had a really long pause in between writing this psalm. And they just sat with that question for a little while. Where does my help come from in this journey of life? I mean, what if that was a question that they just sat on for a whole year before they just jumped right to the answer or the confession? And the reason I say that is because sometimes there's something really healthy in just sitting in the questions for a little bit. For me personally, I'm kind of energized by questions in Scripture, and I love it that the psalmist asks the honest question. Where does my help come from? And just pause and think about that. We're filled with all these self-help books and all these different places where we can think about where our help comes from, and you have a tremendous amount of internal resources and external resources when we think about help. And this is the question that the psalmist was asking. It's a natural question to ask. In the midst of many challenges going on, we ask the question, where does my help come from? In the midst of physical sickness, injury, an accident, wars, natural disasters, where does our help come from? In the midst of economic uncertainties, recessions, depressions, unemployment, debt, where does my help come from? The spiritual questions of doubt, sin, evil, where am I in the midst of the unknowns of a crisis in life? Where does my help come from? I love it that the psalmist invites us to ask that question in our Lenten journey. See, because like the psalmist, we're also travelers on the journey and we're asking the same questions. Where does our help come from? We're going to come back to that question for the psalmist and the confession. But let's see the same questions that the traveler Nicodemus is also asking in the gospel story. See, Nicodemus is also a traveler on the journey. Nicodemus is trying to figure out what it means who this Jesus is. He's a traveler on life's pilgrimage, and he happens to be a religious leader of the law. And yet he has questions. He wants to know more about Jesus. And so he comes to Jesus by night. Why did he come at night? Well, maybe he was afraid of criticism. Maybe he didn't know how the other religious leaders would, you know, treat him if they saw him talking to Jesus. Maybe he was afraid of looking a little weak. Or he had a desire just for a private conversation. And so he wanted to come at night. But in any event, he comes and he asks Jesus some questions. Jesus says to him, Nicodemus, you need to be born again. John 3:5. And Nicodemus, honest question, Jesus, I have no idea what you're talking about. I mean, sometimes I read these scriptures and I'm saying the same thing. They're just really hard to interpret. Jesus, I don't get it. You need to be born again? What does that even mean? Maybe we call it conversion, repentance, discipleship, allowing Christ to live in one's heart, new creation. What does it mean to be born again? Well, Jesus tells this religious leader, it has something to do with being born of spirit and water. John, we're told in the book of John. And so what is this idea of something new being born of spirit and water? We get the idea that Jesus is calling Nicodemus to something new that's going to happen within you. Maybe Jesus was hinting at what we read in 2 Corinthians 5:17. When we hear the language of being a new creation in Christ, something old is dying of the flesh and something new is being reborn. A new creation is happening in relationship with Jesus. There's an invitation to be born again. Now we can imagine that Nicodemus must have been stunned when Jesus said, "You must be born again." It would maybe seem appropriate to tell that to Zacchaeus, the tax collector, or to the thief on the cross, or to the woman caught in adultery. But you're telling me, one of the great religious leaders in the Jewish tradition, to be born again? Nicodemus, I am someone that fasts 2 days a week. I spend 2 hours every day in prayer. I know the Torah perfectly. I memorized that book as a small child. Why are you telling me to be born again? Jesus knew Nicodemus well. He knew the heart of Nicodemus. And Jesus saw that Nicodemus had not yet found the spirit of what it meant to know the law. Nicodemus knew the letter of the law, but he didn't know the spirit of the law. The deep fellowship and relationship that God was showing in Christ Jesus. And Jesus here is encouraging Nicodemus to keep exploring that, to dig deeper into this understanding of who God is, who Jesus was, what it meant to maybe follow Jesus as a disciple and to be made new in the journey of discipleship. And Jesus even points to his journey to the cross by saying the Son of Man must be lifted up. What a wonderful way to get a glimpse to begin to understand what being born again means. That the journey of following Jesus to the cross and to resurrection will not keep you the same person. Something new will happen as you follow Jesus as Lord. Let's be honest, for Nicodemus, it had to be hard to hear that. It's hard for us to hear that something new is going to be happening, because being made new is scary. As our focus statement tells us, God calls us out of familiar and comfortable places in our lives and invites us into new challenges, new ways of being, thinking, and doing. Yet this is what following Jesus is all about. Being made into something new. And so we need to confess. Confession says, I'm terrified of being made new sometimes. I confess that. What is the confession of the traveler in the Psalms? The confession can be made, can be understood in two significant ways. Sometimes confession is a confession of sin, and other times a confession is a confession of belief. There's multiple ways to understand confession. And then for the psalmist on their pilgrimage, it's a confession of belief. They've just asked the question, where does my help come from? And now here is the confession. My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. And as they are on that journey, on that pilgrimage to Jerusalem, we can imagine that they are singing that confession over and over again, singing the questions, singing the confessions on their pilgrimage. What about Nicodemus? Where is his confession? Well, in order to follow Nicodemus, we have to follow him throughout the book of John. And we find Nicodemus showing up again, where? But at Jesus' death. We know that Jesus calls Nicodemus to be born again, and probably Nicodemus doesn't fully get what that means. But we know that Nicodemus is there at Jesus' death. Nicodemus appears after the crucifixion of Jesus to provide the customary embalming spices and assists Joseph of Arimathea in preparing the body of Jesus. That's in John 19:39 to 42. And so I just wonder on the pilgrimage of Nicodemus, how he ended up there with Jesus' body in the grave, preparing it. And I just wonder if Nicodemus, on that question, on that pilgrimage of questions and not always getting it, there as he's with Jesus' body, if maybe he gets it. Yes, I remembered those words from Jesus now, when he told me at night to be born again. And I remember those words that Jesus said, "For God so loved the world that he sent his only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life." And I remember now Jesus said he would be raised up. And I remember those words now that Jesus said to me, "For I did not come to condemn you, but to save you." I remember that I am the beloved of this crucified Christ. I wonder what Nicodemus was thinking there and what he remembered on his journey. So we are all travelers with questions and confessions this morning. I am thrilled that the past 2 weeks we got to hear John and Tricia, and this morning the Claire, Merle, and Rance share about experiences that they had, and finding God in some pretty cool ways in their experiences of service. As I think about questions and confessions and how we are reminded this morning of how God is continually at work, it's those kinds of sharing that we need to remember and celebrate. We remind one another on the journey of how God is still at work in the world, in our lives, in our church. Through sharing those stories, we're energized and reminded on our pilgrimage. In the midst of our questions, honest questions, where does my help come from? The testimonies remind us again and again who God is and who we are and how God is with us on the journey. I want to end this sermon by going back to the psalm again. The questions and the confessions have been named, and now in the end, there's a blessing. There's a blessing to walk in for the journeyer. This deep understanding of God's blessing, your keeper will not slumber. Will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time on and forevermore. As the pilgrim is walking their journey, they live in these words of blessing. They let them just fall over the pilgrim. Who is God? God is my keeper. God is protecting me, shielding me, watching over me, guarding me, keeping my every step. And what does God promise to do? God will guard me as I'm on the journey of life, even as I return home. These list of promises for the pilgrim is not to mean that they will never experience challenges or danger or even the reality of death and suffering. Make no mistake of it, I'm not trying to and not acknowledge the unimaginable suffering in this world. Yesterday, there was a memorial service for Jonathan Hofstetter. Incredible, incredible person. Lawyer, served in so many boards, was the chair of Mellinger's church board. And he blogged about his journey, his pilgrimage with cancer, and how God was with him in his journey. And he died about a week and a half ago. Make no mistake about it. The questions are real. God, where in the world are you in the midst of someone like Jonathan's journey with cancer and death? That's the question that we just don't always know the answers to. And so in the questions, we just sit with them and we cry out like the psalmist cries out, like Danielle is crying out, like her family's crying out right now. And we live in those questions, and we live in the confessions. And we live in the blessings. Yes, in the midst of even suffering and death, where does my help come from? Yes, even in the midst of death, the psalmist can say, my help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Even in my beginning and in my end, I will still say my help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. So what is the blessing for the journey that you need today? Maybe your pilgrimage is to get through the next 8 hours today. That's what I need. Just get me through today. Then receive this blessing to get through the rest of today. God's with you. The maker of heaven and earth walks with you. Maybe your pilgrimage is to take a week at a time. Just get me through this next week. So go with these words. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord will keep you from all evil. Or maybe your pilgrimage is to get through the next months or the next year. And you are saying, from where does my help come from? Your help comes from the maker of heaven and earth, who will keep your coming in and your going out. You're on the journey. We're on the journey of questions and confessions and blessings, just as Nicodemus was on the journey. And so I pray as we're on the journey, we too, like Nicodemus, as he's sitting with the crucified Christ, may remember, may you remember in the midst of your questions, those words from Jesus. Remember, God so loved the world. God so loved you that God sent Christ to be with you, to be your Savior. That whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And remember in your questions that God did not send Christ into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world. Remember that you are the beloved of God. And may we, like the psalmist, also in our question and confession say, from where does our help come from? Our help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Amen.